Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahatotep. Welcome, everyone, to this segment, of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, you are in tune to kind of, I'm not going to say a special edition, but one that we would have probably done last night if we were doing our regular program, which, of course, would have been every, as we do every Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Unfortunately, last night we were at a session in New York, in Brooklyn, and particularly in Brooklyn. Let's put it that way. I don't know what's going on with me tonight. But we were in Brooklyn, and we were holding the session, of course, to get ready for formulating the MWM20 Coordinating Committee in Brooklyn. And, of course, we're going to be going to the other areas in New York so that we can actually begin to start formulating more of our committees nationwide. So, again, we were in New York last night in the Brooklyn area, and very soon we'll be going to the Bronx and to Queens and other areas, Jamaica, to make certain that the various committees in that city are, in fact, formed. We were in Harlem earlier that day, and, of course, that, too, will be one of the boroughs that we will have one of our local coordinating committees. We were, of course, in Baltimore on, I believe, Tuesday, and that was very, very interesting, to say the least. And so, of course, you know, we are going to give you some really kind of insight and in-depth information about some of what has been going on this past week, which, again, has just been very edifying, and I mean, just provided a lot of insight. So we're going to tell you more about that. And, of course, before we begin tonight's program, we give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are always very appreciative of our freedom fighting ancestors, and I say that with the utmost intent, because it seems that as we get closer and closer into the so-called year of 2017, it's just so obvious that so many things are going to be happening, and so we had better get ready. I mean, some kind of are, and some are, and so forth, but there's a whole bunch of funks that are not. And so what we know we better do in the very near future is to get even more, not just organized and not just more ready, but we really better get on the ball like never before, because it's all going down and then some. At any rate, I want to thank you all again for tuning into this segment. Again, yesterday we were traveling a lot, myself and several of our MWM20 coordinators, and we just had a full day. And so, of course, last night it was just too much going on to do our regular radio broadcast. But, of course, we are here with you tonight, live and in living color. And, again, we're going to give you some updates on some of what went on this week in the coordinating phases, or this stage of the coordinating phases for MWM. And I'm going to give you some other information and insight that we think you need to have and will, of course, appreciate. There are more and more people, blessfully, coming aboard and joining us and getting ready for the MWM20 reunion, and we are very, very thankful for that. I want to say at this time that we want to give a special thank you and shout out to our sister in the BMO area, such as Tawanda Jones, was really on point in helping us to do our first coordinating meeting in Baltimore and BMO, Tubman City as it's known. And that was some interesting kind of things, because I have to admit, that was one of the first times, if not the first time, that, you know, some people who were not of African descent came to one of MWM actual meetings. So we know why, at least we feel we know why that happened and why It had happened again yesterday, believe it or not, when we went to our meeting in Brooklyn, because, again, there was so much confusion going on with people attempting to use our name and so forth. And, of course, some of that is still out there. And we expect that a few more will try to utilize that excuse or whatever to try to chime in or come in our circle. But as we can clearly and surely make you aware, that will not be happening. We made that very clear last night as well when we had our session, and we're going to tell you more about that too. But anyway, tonight we're going to also talk about human rights, because yesterday was, in fact, International Human Rights Day, and that is something that we're going to talk more about as far as the MWM platform is concerned, because, you know, years ago, the focal point was, in fact, on civil rights. And, of course, during that time period, there were several other slogans and things happening. And one of the slogans or one of the mottos or whichever you care to call it that you heard circulating a lot during the 60s and even early 70s was when people would ask the question, what time is it? And, of course, the response would be nation time. Well, certainly over the years that kind of dissipated, and some of the people who was even talking about nation time really kind of got sidetracked, or I don't know what to call it, but their focus on nation time became something really strange as far as I'm concerned. But nevertheless, that seems to be a phrase or a cliche or what have you that's being revised today. And we certainly are in agreement with the idea and concepts of nation time, but also we're going to be answering that question with, when it said, what time is it? Our response is going to be, it's human rights time. It's African human rights time. That is going to be the call of the day, and we're certainly going to make that call a lot stronger and a lot louder, along with some other things. So with that said, again, we're going to talk more about nation time, also about African human rights time. Okay, the other things we're going to focus on, of course, is MWM, meaning Million Women March, and with that, of course, our theme, Raising Up the Mother of Civilization. And I want you to know that in the very near future, sisters will be able to join us for some classes, both online and in our community, to talk more about what is, who is the mother of civilization. Why did we select that as the theme? Well, certainly if you all have any insight into some of the trickery that has been going on for several years and how other people have been claiming and saying this, that, and the other, and to be more specific, how and why there has been, if not a misrepresentation and ambiguity about who, in fact, is the original woman. Oh, well, we feel that this time that that gets straightened out, that that becomes clearer, and we're going to make sure that that happens. And so we're going to start providing the right information and other kinds of things to assure that that confusion doesn't continue. So, again, Raising Up the Mother of Civilization is, of course, our theme, and we're going to begin to start providing insight and information about who and what that is. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and, of course, we're going to also talk about the We Charge Genocide 21 Project, which, again, part of MWM20's platform, part of our mission, and with that, of course, the development, or shall we say, the obtainment of at least a million signatures that we know we're going to get as a part of our reunion that we will take to the United Nations in the following year and begin a process to move things forward, we feel, not only expeditiously, but in a very strong and serious kind of manner, our position as it pertains to crimes against humanity, also known as genocide. We're going to be doing teach-ins very soon throughout our communities. When you come to Million Women March meetings and other kinds of forums, you're going to be hearing more about these kinds of things, meaning we're going to talk more about those sessions that we'll be having very soon, but they will include pre-plebiscite. That's right. We're literally starting in January going to start holding pre-plebiscite sessions so that people know what a plebiscite is, how we are structuring it so that after the Million Women March, we can look at a national plebiscite being held so that those who really want to be free in a way that is going to be not only productive, that is going to be irreversible, et cetera, well, there's things that have to be done to assure that that happens. Remember, people who do not have a name, at least in this society, in this time period, a people who do not have a language, something else we got to think about. All of these things is what, in fact, makes up a group of peoples, and you have to also apply that to it being a nation. So these are some of the things that we will seriously and realistically have to begin to look at. It doesn't mean that we will not still operate in our own communities as such, but international scope, in a more global scope. We have to begin to conduct ourselves in a certain type of way, and we need to do that in a way that is going to allow us to move forward. So again, upcoming sessions for MWM20 and beyond is going to be focusing on human rights, focusing on pre-plebiscite sessions, focusing on what is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights documents. What are they? What, you know, we want to start studying these things. So MWM is getting ready to put together several of its task forces, its think tanks, and other kinds of cadres to get some of this work done. Now, before we get ready to go to our first family, extended family member who's going to be joining us shortly to talk to us about a very interesting conversation that we had this week. Actually, we had a couple of them. And one, actually both times in this particular dialogue, it was referencing a group in Memphis, Tennessee, known as the Invaders. And I personally had never heard of them before. I'm so glad I heard of them now, though, because it really gave me a lot of insight into several things. And so a little later on, we're going to be talking with our brother Cedric, who is one of our brothers in support here in Philly. And he's going to tell us about some things that some of you probably have not heard of it either, but you, of course, know that Dr. King did a lot of work in Memphis, Tennessee. You also know, of course, his assassination. But there's some other things in between some of that that I know I certainly wasn't as aware of and some of it didn't know at all. And we want to make sure that you all, as with myself, can really begin to benefit more from some of the historical things that have happened in terms of our movements. We have to really better understand, and this is what one of the elders said in our telephone conversation, that it is so important that we really understand history, not just history as it is told and provided, but also some of the real internal, close-up kind of stuff, you know, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight as well as in the future. And in this particular situation, we're really going to start examining, as it had been said to me, people who are sent into our organizations, into our movements, to dismantle them, to sidetrack, to create confusion, and also to destroy them, straight up, plain and simple. We were encouraged by the elders to make sure that we tell people about these things, not be afraid to do so, and don't think it is so-called politically incorrect to do so. And what that means is, and we've talked about it with some of our coordinators, we're going to start providing report cards or evaluation sheets, or whatever you care to call it, to our people. As we proceed with Million Women March movement and its 20-year anniversary, we want to know what you all think about the so-called leadership in your community. Should we continue to support them, or should we get rid of them? That's one of the first steps. So we're going to talk more about that tonight, too, because the time has come for that evaluation. The time has come for the truth to be told. And the truth to be told is some of these people got to go. And that is what one of the elders said the other day as well. And she's 89 years old, and she says right out clearly that it's time for some of the Negroes to go. So we agree and certainly are looking forward to helping to do that. But anyway, before we bring in our brother Cedric, what we want to do is we see a few of you have some comments that you might want to share with us, and certainly we welcome that. And so what we're going to do is first go to caller at 5416. We're going to open up your line, caller at 5416, and see if you have something you want to share with us or just, you know, something you'd like to convey. And so a caller at 5416, your mic is open. 5416, your mic is open.
This is Jackie Sanders.
Oh, no, Sister Jackie.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine. I'm in rehab, and Sister Leslie had me call, so I am fine. I have a week left, but God is in control, and I'm calling on my miracles, but I'm learning how to walk. My left side was, my right side was affected, but I I'm able to talk. Not, you know, I have to learn how to. I'm just grateful to be alive.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, it's such a blessing to hear you.
So
it is so wonderful.
So do not count me out, but I'll be back. Okay. As I said, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. But
I know that's right. Well, you better than Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you are not only going to be back, sister, you're going to be up and at it, and we are so thankful.
So,
my goodness, you sound wonderful. We are very thankful. Sister, I want you to stay right there because I think there's a couple other sisters want to say something to you. So hold on right there. I think we might have Sister Hattie here. Sister Hattie, is this you? Thought that was Sister Hattie calling in, but... Oh, that's Sister Angela. I knew it was one of y'all. Okay. Hey, Sister Angela.
Evening. Hey, hello, Empress. Hi, Sister Jackie.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
It's so great to hear your voice. We miss you and we love you. And I'm glad to just hear your voice tonight. And we look forward to, you know, fully recovering.
Thank you very much. I have a goal, and I said I'm going to be back by, I told my mom and dad, I'm calling out my medical debt in 2017 March.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be no asshole.
All right. We Yes, we know that's right.
So, but anyhow, I'm going to, I'm tired. I'm going to let
go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you go and get some rest. You go and get some rest. We are here for you. We love you. And listen, we know you are going to be with us full strength, ready to go real soon. And I know Sister Leslie is going to be coming to visit you as soon as well. So you get some rest. And we know that you're with us. We feel your spirit.
Okay. Okay.
So get some rest, sweetie. We love you.
Well, I stayed up just to have that time, but anyhow, you go, you take care, and I thank God.
And just stay right there for one more minute. I think this looks like Sister Leslie calling in, and I think she just may want to greet you for the evening before you get some more rest. Hold on one moment. I think Sister Leslie?
Yes, yes, yes. Hi, Jackie. You got my text? I see you got the text. I know. I want to say it's so wonderful for you to be in the circle tonight. Your energy is high. Our energy is surrounding you with all the love
that you need.
We will never count you out of anything. One thing about the sisterhood here, there's no way out. There is truly no way out.
Yeah.
So you stuck with us till eternity, trust me. And I will be up. I believe one day this week I'll call you tomorrow and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But it's so wonderful. I was floored. I was in the kitchen getting ready to do something, and I heard your voice, and I just totally did a 360 degree. It's always good to hear you. We miss you. Sister Angela, Sister Hattie, all of those who we and on the conference call, we miss you, but we know that you're with us still. We love you very, very, very dearly. We love you very dearly. And for all the listeners that is listening and you're trying to figure out what's going on, this is a sister who's been hitting the ground with us when we came. When she came aboard to be a part of the Million Woman March, she had no clue. She wasn't in the first phase of it. But she's been very dedicated and loyal. She's in the Harrisburg area. And so she was spearheading us organizing there. But we're going to continue to reach out in Harrisburg as well. And she's well-loved in Harrisburg. She's a community activist. She enjoys what she do, and she has much love for the people. So anyone that's hearing this, please keep her in your prayers and give her some love as well. As we're on tonight, we each mention her name to keep the love energy going towards her and her family. Her husband is very ill at the same time. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about our community and strengthening our families. When one is in trouble or having trouble, we're all in trouble unless we're embracing them. So I thank you, Jackie, and we will be talking in the morning. Call me when you're ready to talk in the morning.
Okay. When you sent the text messages, I had to go and because of my stroke, my right hand is affected. But now I'm doing that I can hold my, my left hand. My left hand. So I was able to do the text. So
All right. That's progress. That is progress. Every step you take, remember we're behind you and with our arms around you.
Okay. Well, you take care.
Good night.
And good night, okay?
And you
and
as God, well.
All right, my sister. Yes,
and God
thank
bless.
You, and we love you.
God
okay.
bless.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Peace to you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Peace to you.
Wow.
All right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
What a wonderful surprise.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that's incredible. Wow. I was not expecting that. Well, give thanks. Give thanks. You know, and I'm just going to say this. To me, you know, people who are fighters, I mean, I've seen it so many times that they just, it's a certain kind of tenacity, a certain kind of spirit, you know, that they're filled with. And by the way, family, those who don't know or didn't kind of grasp it already, our sister had a stroke. And a few weeks ago, and this is the first time I've been able to hear her voice since that situation happened. And so it sounds like she's making wonderful progress. So we are very, very thankful. Ooh, all right. Okay, Sister Angela, are you still there?
I'm here, yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep, we got you. Okay, I'm going to keep your mic open, so if you need to mute out, it's okay, because I want to be able to bring you back in very shortly. I'm going to bring in Brother Cedric, because I want you all to, you probably heard him, I think he was on our program maybe a few weeks back, but certainly you're going to hear him more in the future, because he is... I've got to just say this. I have talked to many brothers in these past months, meaning black men, and I've said to many of them specifically, you know, we need your help, we need your support, blah, blah, blah. And I've had a lot of them to say, yeah, okay, sister, okay, yeah, we're going to support and all that. But let me tell you, and I'm going to be saying more of this in the future. Folks be talking stuff, okay? Because I'm like, what does that – I have to really ask people now, what does that mean when you say you're in support or you're going to be supporting? Because from what I'm seeing, it's not even lip service. It's definitely not a service, BSing. That's the bottom line. And I'm saying that there's a few brothers who I'm really so proud that they are stepping up. Brother Mike Graves, much love to you, brother. My brother was there last night. He's been wherever we needed him to be. He's been there, you know. And, I mean, here these are people that are in New York that come to Philly to support us, okay. Yet we got folks right here in Philly who, well, I'll say that for later because I don't want to tell it because they need to be exposed. But we do have a few here in Philly, and that is my point. Brother Cedric is here in Philly, and he says, sister, I want to support. I'm here to support. And guess what? He's been doing it. So, you know, we want to make sure that our family know that we really appreciate our brothers. We appreciate them standing up as real men, as real black men, and that there is a difference for those who talk stuff and those who do what they say or do what they wish to do or want to do or whatever. There is a difference. And as a black woman and as black women, we appreciate that. We appreciate you all. And last night we said at the session in New York, we told the brothers, we said, look, you know, we want the world to see that our black men stand with us, love us, support us, protect us. And they'll be able to see that when we do the Million Woman March reunion, because it's the brothers who's going to make sure that we are safe that day. Okay? So we know real black men that hear this and get it, they're going to stand up. And we're going to see the ones that don't. Ooh, isn't that something? Anyway, moving right along, we are going to now bring in Brother Cedric, and we're going to talk about, again, I was just so pleased to learn. I love history. I love learning new things, and particularly things that are about us. And when I heard about the invaders from Memphis, Tennessee, I mean, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, because it just helped to verify and confirm some things that I knew, but after hearing it directly from some of the people who were actually involved, then I knew we are on the right track, meaning MWM, and taking some of the positions that we are taking, because these are some of the positions that people took 50 years plus ago, and here we are still talking some of this stuff as if it's new. But one of the things, again, that the elder mentioned that I really, really am embracing, and that is we've got to expose those people who in our community and in our movements are traitors. That's right. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But right now, I want to bring Brother Cedric in, because he's going to be working with us on a really major project that we're going to be doing. It's geared to take place in February, where we begin to start connecting black folks that are in unions all over the country. And one of the reasons why I wanted my sister to stay in with us on this one, because she doesn't know, but she's kind of getting promoted. I guess you'd call it that, for lack of a better terminology, and that is in dealing with some of our financial development components. And so that's Sister Angela. And again, I wanted to have her to hear Brother Cedric, because we're really going to start brainstorming now in connecting black folks that are in unions nationwide, how we can work together, how we can invest together as black folks. We're going to talk more about that in the future, but the first things are first, and that is we're getting ready to have a black ball. That can kind of be like a little strange in saying it, but we'll explain it to you a little later, because we know historically blackballing means something different. Well, we are about changing the scenario and the energy on certain things. So without further ado, I want you to meet Brother Cedric. Of course, he is here in Philly. He does a whole bunch of things, especially working with the youth, a lot of the young brothers in particular. But he has a lot of other hats that he wears, and one of them happens to be having to work with some of the unions. And also, of course, he does other things in terms of tours that are relevant to us throughout the U.S. But for tonight, we're going to talk more about his work with some of the freedom fighters and the union workers, or those who were related to the union workers, and other political kinds of things in Selma. I mean, I'm in Selma, in Memphis, okay, because we're going to talk about Selma later, so that's why it's in my mind, because, again, we're connecting some of the historical dots as we proceed with MWM20. This is an experience, a journey, an evolution, and certainly a movement. So with that said, let's go open up our lines and talk with our brother Cedric. Hey, Brother Cedric, we got you on?
Yes, good evening. Dr.
Sister,
how are you this evening, and how the rest
very,
of the sisters?
Very, very good. Yeah, as you can tell, we are really, I mean, I was so, I'm just still like, you know, I'm overwhelmed, because I wasn't expecting to hear our sister Jackie. And, again, it just goes to show you that, you know, we can overcome some stuff, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I want to applaud you for all your works. I want to applaud you for back in you all for your works back in 97, and definitely for the 20th year for you to come back and do it again, because it was much needed back then, and I can say it's much needed now. And so you guys are right on time, and I'm here as only one vessel. But I've worked with a number of youth, the PLUS organization,
mm-hmm.
Peace, Love, Unity, and Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And those
mm-hmm.
are those the real motives that make the train run. Any significant change in our nation's history, as we know, we're done with our college age and high school age
mm-hmm.
Youth. And so they are
mm-hmm.
at the ready,
mm-hmm.
and they have definitely adopted Dr. Filet is another mother of theirs in the village.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking forward, too, to bringing them forward, you know, because that's what it's really about. I recognize that I feel that I'm being the spirit of Harriet Tubman, also known as Mother Araminta. I get the feeling that I'm being kind of filled up with her, you know, in some of my next steps. So that means that with some of the young folks, I'll be working with them, but they can best believe they're going to have a conductor also in their midst, you know. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm looking forward to it, brother. And by the way, I need to share with everyone that Brother Cedric, of course, is kind of what you would call the person who is holding it down, for lack of a better terminology, over at the Underground Railroad Theater. And Brother Cedric, tell folks a little bit about that. Well, first, before we do that, tell them a little bit about you, because we want to be able to kind of connect, you know, your involvement with being in Memphis. So just tell them a little bit about you first.
Okay, well, just a quick a snippet. I was actually the godson of Jesse Epps. I still am godson of Jesse Epps, Bill Lucy, and I am short, and I should have been able to say the name. There were three men, black men, that were appointed as advisors to the President of the United States. Was his name? No, that's the wrong name. I put James Chivell in all the paperwork, and that was the wrong name. But Jesse Epps, Bill Lucy, and they were commissioned by the AFSCME group, AFSCME Union. Well,
mm-hmm.
In the journeys along with him, it took me into he came to me. I was a young entrepreneur here in Philadelphia. I had a business. I was in the sanitation business. And he
mm-hmm.
saw the change that was coming in the sanitation field again as it was happening in 68. I didn't understand the connection at the time, but I understand it now. And so that took us to being inducted to the Civil Rights Hall of Fame as we rewrote the script that happened back in 68. That's when we found out about the group CUM, that's Communities on the Move for Equality, and the group Women on the Move for Equality Now. Those were the actual two organizations that that actually fought the big battle down in Memphis. And the AFSCME group commissioned Dr. King to be a keynote speaker at the end. But, you know, the accolades are all given to Dr. King as the keynote speaker, and not to take anything from him. But, you know, the heroes down there in CUM, the community, the actual people of the city of Memphis, and the group of women, which were the women supporting the men of CUM, were the actual soldiers on the ground. And this is what Dr. Empress Filet is bringing out now. You know, so that's a much needed vessel to share some information that's much needed in our communities right now, to show and when we unite together in a community, we can make a change.
Absolutely. And Brother Cedric, he hit right on the nose, family, is that, you know, there's segments of our history that kind of gets pushed to the side or downplayed, and we know why, because if people really heard and understood better some of these other dynamics, then we would be a little more apt to, if not recreate, connect to and bring forward some of those kinds of energies. Again, you know, we all love Dr. King. We all appreciate his work, and there's no question, no doubt about it. But there were other things going on. And one of the things that we know in terms of the Million Woman March and this movement, we are going to be responsible enough to, again, bring as much truth forward as possible so that we can really obtain some real justice, some real liberation, and not just obtain it, but to sustain it as well. And so, again, to do that, we have to know as much as we possibly can, and particularly as it pertains to movements, particularly as it pertains to getting things done, doing the work. And there were so many that did, but as Brother Cedric just said, there's a lot of folk who we don't know about and we need to know about. Again, are you all familiar with the, with these groups, the name of the groups that Brother Cedric just mentioned? I'm almost betting that at least 90% of who's listening now never heard those names. You know, don't know anything about them. Well, you're going to know something about them now and in the very near future. So that kind of gives you some insight into what we're talking about tonight, what we're going to be talking about, why we're going to be doing some of the things that we're doing. Again, we're going to be connecting Black folks and unions all over the country, because if this story that we're hearing now is one of importance, and it is, you best believe there's 100 more stories or things that we need to know in reference to our movement. So with that said, you now know a bit about Brother Cedric and what it is that we're getting ready to do. But also now, let's go to where you're at now, which is tell us a little bit about the Underground Railroad Theater.
Well, the Underground Railroad Station is what we've named it now. And we call the we call it the Underground Railroad Station and the Harriet's Hideout Theater. It's a building that was built back in it was built back in 1742. It was, you know, before the Constitution of the United States, and before all of these laws that we have right now. We had this building sitting right there, the Battle of Germantown, which fought right in front of the property, Revolutionary War. Was, you know, again, fought right in front of that building. That was a battle that we lost. That's a war that people don't talk about. We actually lost that war before the Revolutionary War. They came back to fight it again a few years later. But anyway, back to the property itself. It's a property that was built by a Mel family back in, like I said, 1742. They were there for about 125 years, and it got passed off to the Meinhardt family. They were there for about another 125 years, and it was used as the a location of both families. One of the families used it as the Underground Railroad, one of the locations. And so, you know, so right now we have a little problem with our candles, but we normally keep the candles in the windows as a symbolization of that was the symbol at the time. A candle in the window lit meant that it was safe to come in. So, you know, this was at that location. So now we have it, and it's the place that we're going to be holding down for the community, and you know, letting things like this happen and keeping our little things that we need in our community available to our community without a lot of governmental or outside interference. You know, once we get beyond our gates, it's our land.
All right, and that's what we're talking about. And family, that's why we are going to be making certain that we provide support to this location, to this facility. We're going to be utilizing that facility a lot as we proceed with the Million Women March reunion, but we're going to also make sure that we're able to give back as well as we develop the components that we need to develop. And we're looking to have that location as one of our official locations for that area, which is in the Germantown area. That's why you heard Brother Cedric mention about there being a battle there. There's a lot of history here in Philadelphia as well as throughout the country, and we want to start sharing more of that history with one another as it pertains to our people. Okay, so again, you're going to be hearing us talk more about that, because MWM has developed a unit that we call the MWM African Historical Preservation Society. And so for the next year up to 2020, actually, you're going to hear more about different locations that we're going to be going to, doing various things that is connected to our history. And so, you know, we have Sister Angela in queue right now. Of course, that's the Cleveland area. We're going to be researching every area that we have our coordinators who are very active, as well as our seven sister cities. We're going to be able at some point to publish for you information that we have researched, that we are going to be able to archive to make certain that the next generations are able to get history lessons and things that come from us, okay, from those who walk the streets and talk to the people who have done it or who have been associated in doing it and so forth, not just from doing the research from the book. We're going to hit the streets and do interviews and other kinds of things, and that's going to be a part of the youth component so that they can learn these various, you know, they're already into the technology, but again, we want to be able to apply it to the community development components that we are developing as the Man and Woman Movement. So, again, we thank Brother Cedric for sharing that part with us as well, and now let's move on to what we're getting ready to do and talk about Memphis in particular, and the Invaders, and the other organizations that you mentioned, Brother Cedric. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the along with CUME, and which was you know, was the community, and like I said, women, which were the women supporting the men in the community. You had the young folks, like you have up here in the north. We had the Black Panthers in the north. Well, we had the Invaders in the south. The Invaders were the young folks that got together, and they dressed the same as the basically the same as the Panthers did, and there was a little friction, I'm finding out, between the two groups. But down there they were very significant. They worked heavily with Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam. They you know, it was a powerful group. The Dr. Colby Smith was the accountant at the time. They were like the Black Panthers. You know, we always see them portrayed as gangsters in the news and the media. But they were college students. They were college students who were forced to fight, one way or another. And so the Invaders were the same. But I had the opportunity of being down there with Barbara Cooper, who we were just on the phone with the other day. I actually lived in Memphis for about a year and a half and was just lived in amongst all of the different legends that were down there, pioneers of that time. And so many of them will be involved with all of you and all of what you're doing, because this is, they're very familiar with this fight, you know, and this struggle that we're in right now. And they're willing to lend their wisdom and their support.
Yeah.
Because even at 90 years old, let me tell you, many of them will, you know, still will be right here when you call.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And that's what we're talking about. And see, that's the kind of elders that I really was raised up with, you know, elders who in their 80s, they were still very feisty and very dedicated and committed and no nonsense. And, again, going back to Brother Cedric mentioned, Sister Barbara Cooper, of course, Dr. Barbara Cooper, and she is 89 years of age, by the way, and also very active in the political arena. In fact, if I remember correctly, she is still a state senator. Is that correct, Brother Cedric?
Yes, over 20 years, still sitting state senator, and like I said, very, very active in the community. Oh, and also, I'm sorry. She is a high-ranking, very highly respected AKA, but at the same time, she was just honored by the Deltas. I mean, so, you know, she's very her platform has always been the young Black female, and that's always been her target in education.
Well, I tell you, I enjoy talking with her particularly because a lot of times I hear of women who are, you know, considered highly educated or very much involved in the political arena. And even though they, you know, have all that going on, they, to me, are still very much part of the problem. And I can definitely say in this particular case, after talking with that elder, it was like no problems at all. In fact, she said something that I found almost to be still kind of shocking. I wasn't expecting her to say it, but she sure enough came right out and said, "We got to get rid of some of these Negroes." I was like, "Oh, okay, this is my kind of sister. This is my kind of elder." you know, and so that gave me a clear indication that no matter whatever affiliations or whatever else was going on, she was pretty clear about some other things. And that to me was very, very important because, you know, in my travels and interactions, I've met, you know, so many women from all walks of life. And right now for me, it's about what you really, really not only want to do, going to do, but in what kind of mindset, you know. And so, again, it was so wonderful to hear that here we had an elder, almost 90 years old, who was black, you know, didn't have no problem letting you know it, that their mentality was that of a black woman. You see, there is a difference. So Brother Cedric, I am just so pleased and so, you know, filled with joy to have met her and to have met the others that were on the line that day. Let's talk a little bit about what we kind of, let's just give them a little preview about what it is we are looking at doing with the Black Ball. You know, we talked a little bit about, of course, connecting black folks, union folks, and, you know, who are in unions, all kinds of unions, by the way. But for the first Black Ball, because we plan to do this annually, and Brother Cedric is working along with Brother Denzel and others to really kind of help bring this thing together. The first one is going to be very important because it is our first, and, you know, we like to do groundbreaking stuff, and I think this, I don't know of any ball anywhere that focuses specifically on black folks in unions. Do you, Brother Cedric?
Oh, they have a lot of events, but no, I wouldn't say specifically on it.
Yes, yeah, as I always tell people, I like stuff. I like to do stuff that has never been done before. I really, you know, get a good sense of that. So to my knowledge, there's not been an annual ball that is geared to black folks that are in unions. And again, you know, we are really going to utilize some of, you know, what people say and think, and that is union. Well, the word union suggests some form of unity or unification. And since that's what a lot of people have been talking about, particularly recently with this last election, it is so obvious that we need to do more about really dealing with this issue of unity. Well, we've figured out a way to kind of at least approach it and see what happens with it, and we feel pretty confident we're going to make some things happen. So to start it off with, we're going to be bringing black folks together who are in unions, all types of unions, labor, you know, professional, you name it, because the issues are what we're really looking at as a people, and we want to bring these areas of expertise together so that we can begin to focus on an agenda that we are all pretty much able to agree on. And so this is one of the first steps to kind of do that. Because at some point we got to start talking about our own party, our own political parties. Yes, that is something that's in the future, but first things are first. And, again, this Black Ball is going to kind of help bring some of that together. So with that said, we will be doing this annually. And for the first year, we will salute, because each year we'll salute a different union or a different segment. For example, this coming first one for 2017, there's going to be a special salute tribute to the sanitation workers. Right, that particular, they have a union, you see, like all city workers have a union, all the government workers have a union, your teachers, they have a union, the contractors have a union. So for this 2017, our focus is going to be on the sanitation workers and those who clean things, those who clean buildings that are in the union, those who clean the streets, those who pick up your garbage, we're going to pay tribute to them in 2017. And so that, again, is kind of where Brother Cedric is connecting those black dots. So Brother Cedric, tell us a little bit about how we're going to kind of proceed with that in bringing and honoring and just paying tribute to those who have already done, you know, something. And in this particular case, as it pertains to sanitation workers, tell them a little bit how we're going to connect those dots.
Yeah, well, the sanitation workers, you know, that was the whole battle of Memphis. That was the spark that actually started it all. I mean, there was other issues around, but it was the sanitation workers, 1,300 of them, to be exact, that walked off the job back in 68. Actually, they walked off the job in the end of 67, but it ended up in the 1968 when the big marches and everything else and assassination happened. But yes, so those sanitation workers, again, it just relights and reignites all of the same folks who had to fight this fight once before. So we're calling all of them back in together again. My background has been in, I used to work with the rally, with the unions doing rallies as an organizer and promoter of many mass rallies. And so with our relationship with them, and just knowing a lot of the pioneers because of my relationship with my godfather, again, it was no miracle how I got there. I'm just explaining to you, just because I am who I am and where I was, that's why,
right.
these dots are here to connect. But many of the sanitation workers are still actually sanitation workers to this day, like Reverend Smith and a few others. But they will be also uniting with us to be a symbolization of exactly what the Million Women's March is expressing right now. So a lot of those folks are being contacted. Bill Lucy, again, he was one of the advisors to the president at that time. He is still alive today. He is in his 90s, and he is the founder of the CBTU, the Carpenters Union, the CBTU. I know the initials, and I can't think of what it stands for right this moment, the Black Tradesmen Union.
Right.
Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. That's what it is. So he's going to be highlighted in order to exemplify and bring an example of the unions and the trades and the need to produce again for us and we are people again in our communities.
And see, again, family, for those who kind of really are seeing the bigger picture here, then you can begin to realize what it is we're talking about as far as the building process in the development of this movement, which we feel is an extension or connected to some of the previous movements that we all know and love and have heard about. We have to ask that question sometimes, what happened? Why have we not advanced or moved forward to the degree that we should have? Well, again, we strongly feel that some of what's happened, and of course some of it we are very, very familiar with, and we're talking about such things such as COINTELPRO. This, too, was one of the conversations that we were able to have in our dialogue and talking with the elders, and they talked about some of the tactics and some of the other things that literally occurred that they was able to bear witness to and document and so forth. And so these are some of the things, again, that we're going to start really bringing more into the psyche and the information to our people. This was impressed upon us when we had the dialogue with Brother Cody Smith, Dr. Cody Smith, because some of the things that he was conveying was to help us to better be prepared and aware for the future. And see, I know firsthand, I wasn't given any information coming into the struggle about certain things. I mean, you would hear various things. You might get some little snippets, but certainly not some real solid instructions, training, teaching, and so forth. This is why I work now with my coordinators to take the time to really give them information that's going to help secure what we're doing, what we're building, and to strengthen things as we continue. So, again, we're going to be providing lessons. That's really the point. Even curriculums that focus specifically on some of the areas of things that we have been talking about tonight and have talked about in past sessions. COINTELPRO, I mean, there's a lot of information about that, but to really put forth together a concise, comprehensive kind of thing, and this is what Dr. Cody Smith talked about wanting to do, particularly with the young folks. So we're looking not just having a black ball, which is going to be, of course, the attire is all black, by the way, along with all black folks, by the way. But again, we're looking at perhaps earlier in that day or so, doing some actual sessions where people can really learn, discuss, strategize, et cetera, in other areas of things. This is going to be a powerful, powerful kind of activity program, and it will end up being, again, an annual kind of thing that we're going to do. So going back to Brother Cedric, this is, I think, extremely groundbreaking. I like doing these kinds of things because I like making history, by the way, in case folks don't know that. But this is definitely going to be that. Now, Brother Segler, before I go back to you, one thing I did not mention and I want to bring to your attention, because we're this next week getting ready to get geared up to take things to the next level. I have spoken with a few people. We were in New York yesterday, and as a result, we had some other dialogue today, and they will be contacting various union reps and so forth in New York very soon to, you know, have them abreast and to sit down with us, because we anticipate that in the tri-state area, various unions will be coming in for this event to support, because that's what it's really about, supporting each other, highlighting the history, et cetera. Now, there's two groups that I want to bring to your attention, and we'll talk more about this in the future. And family, you need to know that these groups exist as well, because they're very active today. And one is called Black Workers for Justice. Mm-hmm. Black Workers for Justice. Okay. There's also another group, and I don't have their name right in front of me right now. I'll find it for you either later or bring it back to your attention for next week. But my point is that there are literally black folks that are in various unions, and they specifically focus on things that deal with social justice issues. So, again, this is a group that we definitely plan to connect with, because they're very much involved in the community dealing specifically with what people call social justice issues. And one of those such groups is a group called Black Workers for Justice. Okay, so we'll be telling you more about that a little later on, but right now we're going to go back to Brother Cedric. So, Brother Cedric, before we close out with you, we're going to go to your final comments for tonight, but also, you know, is there anything that you else you want to share with us about your experiences in being in Memphis? And, I mean, anything else that is relevant to, of course, bringing these unions, these black folks in unions together?
Well, I would say that, you know, my experience in the union, a lot of people, we don't know a lot about 68 and its significance. I know I keep going back to 68, but at that time there was a wealth and poor people's campaign. But what they don't know is when Dr. King was going back to Memphis, the president, Lyndon B. Johnson, said that he was going to cut off the money to the poor people's campaign, the welfare system, if he defied the order not to go. And you know, you know, he did go. But what happened was the AFSCME union found out about it. There was a president by the name of Loeb, and he went ahead and replaced, not Loeb, but anyway, whatever his name was, the president of AFSCME International replaced dollar for dollar immediately, so the people never missed a penny. And they maintained that money until it was all worked out. So, and on top of that, the entire battle in Memphis was funded by AFSCME. They were the unions that, you know, that was backing the sanitation workers, and they're the ones who funded everything that was going on. You know, still was, it was a big struggle down there. It wasn't like it was, you know, they put a whole bunch of money that nobody had to struggle, but, you know, the money did come in. That was, you know, they even broke the law by funding it at that time, you know, was through AFSCME. So, you know, it's just even our 40-hour work week, our paid leave, our insurance that we have, our disability, all of those things are from the union and what happened in 1968, that big battle when the people stood up and fought about their conditions as employees. So that's so significant because everything around that what we're doing right now is when we the people come together, we can still make a change. Back in 2012, real quickly, we went with the unions because we worked on a plan to organize the communities, and they funded the plan, and we went door to door in the whole state of Ohio, and there were six laws that we were challenging. There were some laws that were totally against the workers, mostly against the people of color. We were able to, within 8 months, have six laws changed. It took us 8 months to collectively go and hit every door in Ohio. As you know, it was a very large team of $25 million budget. But when we were able to pull the whole entire state of Ohio, we found that the governor told us we needed 480,000 votes in order to change the law. We came back with 1.2 million votes. So, but we had to go door to door. And the reason that's significant is if you only needed 480,000 votes and your representative of the people in that town or of that state said that this is what the people wanted, who did they talk to? It was like three times the amount of the people said that they didn't want any of that in there. So the laws were able to be changed within that amount of time. It didn't last. So those are some of the things that and the reasons why this is going to be so significant. Yes, sir. And I'm sorry, I'm being summoned by an attorney, but I'll be right with you.
Wow.
Wonderful. So anyway, I didn't want to bore you with the stories, but
these are the things we need to know. These are the things we need to know, better understand, so that as we proceed, we can really, see clearer how to proceed in certain things. Before you go, the other thing I want to mention is that we're going to invite Dr. Cody Smith to come on our program next month, particularly as we get closer to January 15th. And because I want to be able to focus on some of the conversation that we had, and that being, of course, his meeting with Dr. King, his relationship with Stokely Carmichael, also known as Kwame Ture, and as young students, how they were not so much inclined to deal with nonviolence, but yet they had, in fact, agreed to work with Dr. King. So, at some point we want to talk more about that. And again, brother, I thank you so much for bringing him into our circle so that we can, in fact, really hear some of the direct information that I think is so important for us to proceed with. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I apologize. Okay. I thought I was on mute, and I wasn't the whole time, so I put myself on mute.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I really applaud all of your efforts. And I know that that it is the right effort and at the right time. And you're dealing with powerhouses that even you're dealing with. When you're talking about union, they're 17 million strong across the country. And the majority of them will be interested in being involved in this. So, these are real people. They've been vilified in the media and the press, and they're even mad at their own selves, and they're losing membership like crazy because most of the people, even the people in the union, don't understand who the unions are.
Mm-hmm.
So, this will be a beautiful movement, and I'm looking forward.
All right, my brother. Before we leave, I'm going to check in with Sister Angela and see if she has any quick questions or comments for you. Sister Angela, I'm going to give you a minute to get off mute there in case you have a question or a comment for Brother Cedric. And also I'm going to get an opportunity to Sister Leslie as well.
Yes. Brother Cedric, thank you so much for all the information that you shared. I am just really I'm just in awe, kind of soaking it all in. And I was particularly interested in the efforts that you said that you did here in Ohio, because, you know, I am based out of Ohio, and how you went door to door and really mobilized the people. And I think that, you know, because you've had efforts here and there's a strong union, I'm so certain that a lot of the union members here would be interested in attending the Black Ball in February. So I definitely would like to, you know, talk with you a little bit more about how we can kind of piggyback on your efforts, as well as, you know, some other strategies to reach out to particularly the Black people that are in the community here in the Ohio area.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. What part of Ohio are you in, person?
In Cleveland. Cleveland. Yes.
Oh, you're Cleveland. In Cleveland? Okay. I actually lived out there by, what is that, Case University?
Oh, yes.
What's
Case
the name
Western
of that
Reserve.
Big university? Yeah, I lived out there for just about a year. I was on the contract.
Oh, okay. Okay, fabulous. I have some family members that are in different unions, and so I'm definitely, you know, wanting to engage them so we can come over and have a strong representation at the Black Ball.
That would be great. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Leslie, do you have a question or comment for Brother Cedric?
Yes, Brother Cedric, I would like to say I honor you. I honor you for standing in the gap and continually to hold the legacies down and to not have sold us out, because you are I know you're extremely intelligent Black man, and so I'm quite sure there has been quite a few distractions along your way journey that you was offered much, but you didn't sell out. And I want to honor you for, I was there at the Underground Railroad station now when we had our debate and honoring, when we were having the Black men there. And during my presence there, I felt the presence of our ancestors there. And it was such a unique experience. I was standing out. Something that said walk outside, and as I walked outside, I had an experience with hearing some conversations that particularly where I was standing, there had been some a family that arrived there, and someone was sharing about keeping the child quiet. So to hear you say about the candles that stayed lit in the windows, it was symbolic for me because I love candles in the window. And for me, it represents love and warmth in the home. So now I know where that originated from, because that's what I last week wanted to do, look for some candles and put in my windows as well and leave them there year-round, not for the holiday or that sort of thing. So I thank you for the amazing amount of wealth that you carry within yourself and within your soul that you're able to continually pour out and enrich, and enrich your people. Longevity is yours because you've been on this journey for a while, but I want to thank you as well for connecting us to Dr. Kobe Smith and Dr. Barbara Cooper. I was on the line during the conference call, and I'm telling you, I am so in awe. I feel like I have been reinvigorated with wealth of knowledge and also connected to a time and era that I was just a child when the greatest movement towards for Black people was moving. But I've always I just couldn't explain why I, the only one in my family, had embraced Black power as a teenager. And you couldn't tell me I wasn't a Black Panther. I bought the papers daily, and I didn't understand how that evolved in me, because it wasn't in my family and it wasn't in my neighborhood and it wasn't in the friends that I chose. So I know that it's a spiritual plight. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful to you for continually to use your energy and your ancestors, their plight that you're continuing as well. And so we do look forward to spending a lot of time at the underground station. And thank you again so much.
Wow, that was an honor to hear you speak about me. I'm tell you, I kept trying to figure out who you were talking about. I was appreciating them myself. that's your house over there. I'm just the maintenance guy. I'm the gatekeeper. You know, you guys do all the activities. I do very little actually as activities. So I appreciate you guys. Bringing the love and all the information that you bring every time you come, because I get a wealth of knowledge just, you know, being around you and saying hello. you always enlighten me and fill me with so much information. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Well, I know you have some other engagements, and it's so interesting because you function like we do, and that is we have meetings all times of the night, and, you know, this thing just it keeps going on and on. So I certainly appreciate the time that you were able to share with us, and, of course, we'll go to your closing comments for tonight, and I will talk to you later on this week.
Well, if I could have one moment to say, to pass the phone to Denzel. Denzel Pryor is 24 mm-hmm. years old, and, you know, he's the real motor for us all out here. We're all counting on these young folks out here to really do what we need them to do, and them to really
sure.
spread the message, because, without them, there is no tomorrow. So if you don't mind,
that's
he's been on the call the whole time. If you don't mind, he's saying hello.
All right. Not hello, but we'll go with something else. Go ahead, my brother.
Good evening, my sisters. Good evening, good evening. It was a pleasure to hear once again the wealth of knowledge and wisdom that is bestowed around me. I'm really having a good time just absorbing all this history, this knowledge mm-hmm. and wisdom of my people, of my culture. And just giving me the jewels that I need to know in order how to move forward with my brothers and sisters so that we can uplift ourselves once again.
Wow, brothers, we are so appreciative of you. And, you know, again, you help us to know that the future is indeed not only bright, but it's going to be productive and victorious.
Yes.
Yes, sisters.
Yes, yes, yes. So we are very thankful, you know, that Brother Cedric has been able to bring you in, and we look forward to certainly building with you and working with you in the future.
Yes, likewise. I look forward to just being a fly on the wall and just keep on absorbing the knowledge and wisdom and hopefully just following in all of your footsteps one day.
And also, Brother Denzel, tomorrow let's talk, because we still have an issue that we need to look at and examine to see how we're going to help that young brother we were talking about.
Yes, sister, yep.
Okay. Just so you know, I did look into the matter, and I have a sister who is willing to do a site visit. And, again, we will have that conversation later on this week. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't forget.
Beautiful. I'm glad you did. Thank you.
All right, and thank you again. Okay, so family. Oh, and by the way, Brother Denzel, let folks know about the organization that you have, Plus, and where they can go and get more information about it.
I'm the president and co-founder of Plus Movement. It stands for Peace, Love, Unity, and Soul. We are an interlocal security council established by a family of creatives, grassroots family of creatives. And what we're doing is restoring and reconnecting our communities so that our neighbors and our communities are no longer strangers. So basically what we're doing is just getting to know all the organizations, groups and individuals in the community and really connecting the dots, going door to door, reconnecting our families and recreating that structure of accountability, the village, and really uplifting our queens back to the place that they should be in so that we can have our families back again. We're so disconnected in these times and we really need to be together as a family unit again.
All right. And tell them how they can stay in touch with you.
An email, plusmovement.org, that's plusmovement.org @gmail.com. And or you can give me a call on my personal line, which I have no problem giving because I know I have nothing but wisdom and guidance on this line. 267-736-4369. Again, that's 267-736-4369. And again,
And also, Brother Denzel, do you have Facebook?
Yes, you can search Denzel, capital A, dot Pryor. That's Denzel, D-E-N-Z-E-L, capital A, last name Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R. And you can also look us up on Instagram, _plusmovement, and as well as on Twitter, _plusmovement. And we're doing, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, we have a...
Wonderful.
Oh, sorry, sister.
No, I'm hearing the echo, so it's kind of... So I'm sorry, repeat it one more time.
I'm not sure how to work Brother Cedric's phone.
Okay, that's okay. Just go ahead. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Got it. Okay. I just want to just wrap up by saying we have a bunch of events coming up that we're going to be working. Yes. We're going to be working closely with Sister Filet and a bunch of other brothers and sisters from the village. And I look forward to meeting with you all, building, like I said, really putting our sisters, our queens, our mothers back up in the forefront as they should be and really bringing our families back together.
All right. And let me just add to that, just so you all know, that we're very serious about this. When I first met Brother Denzel, it was such a wonderful kind of experience. And then I had to stay on him to make sure that he knew and understood that when we talk about building extended family, we mean it. And he got the message and has been receptive ever since.
Yes.
And so, again, you know, when you hear him talking about, you know, really reestablishing that family and community and village kind of concept and unit, it's real because, you know, we made sure that once we connected, the connection continued. It could have dissipated like a lot of other stuff do. But when you meet genuine people, what we make sure that we do is make certain that we continue to connect regardless. And so once I got that through to him, he certainly understood it. And, you know, we've been connected ever since because we were really very serious about building what I call the extended family and what we all call the village, you know. And so this is organizations, families, communities, all of that coming together, you see. Each person or each entity, each unit has its own purpose, function, and so forth, and we're respectful for those various kinds of functions, and then when the time is right or when we feel as though we should, we apply them all together accordingly. That's real black power, you see. And that's what we're going to be talking more about in the near future as well. All right, Brother Cedric, Brother Denzel, I thank you both again, and I look forward to talking to you later on this week.
Likewise, sister, and we will be in touch daily.
All right. All right, family. So So, all right, family, we have heard a lot tonight. We've done a lot tonight. And we're going to get ready to close this segment out because we know, you know, it's getting kind of late. And normally we do our programs on Saturday, which kind of, you know, doesn't run into your week like you know, having to get up or whatever for some of you. So we want to be kind of cognizant of that for you tonight and not hold you too long. But at any rate, we certainly appreciate you all transferring your minds over to Sunday night. Again, we usually broadcast with you or be with you on Saturday night. But, again, we were in the New York area all day yesterday until in the wee small hours of the morning, sort of. But at any rate, I want to thank Sister Leslie and, of course, Sister Angela for joining in with us tonight, and definitely Elder Jackie. I mean, that was the tip top for the night for me. But certainly we thank all of you as well. And a wonderful shout out to the family over at, in Brooklyn that hosted us last night. We're talking about the Freedom Party family. Of course, Sister Keisha is in the house, Brother Mike, Sister Pat. Yeah. And we know it's just a wonderful, wonderful group of folk. And they did a follow-up call today to assure us that they are going to now really step it up and get things rolling. So we're moving and growing. And, again, oh, we forgot to mention, I just want everyone to, again, to kind of chime in or tune into this movement that we're building, because, once again, we're connecting to Mother Harriet Tubman. And, again, it's kind of interesting because it's not like I was intentionally trying to do any of that. It just kind of happened with us being in Baltimore the other day, which was the actual day that Mother Harriet Tubman obtained her freedom. And where did she come to? Philadelphia. And then where did she ultimately end up? Even though she traveled all over with the Underground Railroad. And note, Underground Railroad, who are we talking to tonight? What are we talking about tonight? Underground Railroad Station. So I think we've kind of completed the cycle for the week. Don't you, you see what I'm saying, Sister Leslie?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was feeling the spirit as Brother Cedric was speaking about, he changed it from Underground Railroad to station, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It was a shift.
Yeah. Yep. So it's very interesting that this entire week pretty much has kind of included, you know, because, again, we went from Philly to DC, to Baltimore, did what we needed to do there, get things ready. And by the way, family, we will do another session in Baltimore in January. I will tell you more about that next week, but this time we're going to be at the Black Wax Museum. That's right. We're getting ready to do some very serious things now. So next session in Baltimore will be at the Black Wax Museum. So we're moving on out now, getting ready to head over to Wilmington, Delaware. Oh, this week, by the way, we'll be in Newark. We'll be in Newark, New Jersey. I'm sorry, not this week, but next Monday. We'll be in Newark, New Jersey. I believe that's the 19th. We'll be at the Newark Free Library. We'll definitely give you more information about that on our program for this Saturday. Of course, our regular Saturday program will take place this Saturday. And we also have just a whole bunch of other stuff we have coming up, but we'll tell you more about that as we proceed. And so, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. And we are going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. And since I don't have Brother Mike with me tonight, who usually helps me to end out, I do have Sister Leslie, and I do have Sister Angela. And so I'm going to ask them to chime in or come in when I say we leave you, as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But there will never, ever, ever, ever be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly justice. And we talking about real justice and not just us. But for our people, it has to be absolute, total, and again, human rights. But again, without any justice, there could be no what, Sister Leslie, Sister Angela?
No peace.
That's right. No justice, no peace. All right, family, we're going to close this segment out. And, again, we will be back with you next week, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And please continue to let folks know that we are here every week. You can now go to our website at www.millionwomanmarch20.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, all over the place on Facebook. Thanks to Sister Angela, Sister Mecca. We're there. Y'all need to come on out, join us with all that we're doing. Get ready to get a committee ready in your city. We need local coordinating committees. We need you all to start looking at the think tanks. We're going to start posting some of that on our website very soon. What are the think tanks that we're putting together? What are some of the other task forces? And by the way, next week we'll tell you about our meeting with Dr. Ray Winbush, because we have some updates on that. Dr. Winbush is going to help us in facilitating a healing component of MWM20, whereby we can start working with our people to deal with some of this post-slavery trauma stuff and other illnesses in our family. You're going to be able to get some of that information. So tune in Saturday, 10:30 p.m., we'll talk to you then. Till next time, Pamoja to the Shunda. Together we shall win. Peace out.